I've been a lifelong fan of that one beautifully orchestrated shot in Catch 22 with John Voight and Martin Balsam.
And the plane crash.
And the plane and the whole thing. That was one of the most beautiful things I've ever...
I loved that shot.
You know.
I loved that shot. But I loved that crew. It was an English crew. And like the
why is English crew on Catch 22? I forgot.
Because we were outside the country, we could have anybody we wanted. And I wanted David Watkin. And you can see why. He was a great man. Mm. And he wanted an English crew. And I learned the beauties of an English crew. You know, that on some days they had a bread pudding that they made themselves on the dolly. And it was like a cannonball. It was a great thing. They'd offer pieces as awards when we got through something. They were perfectly happy. All I wanted was beer with lunch. And they would do anything, anything.
I actually drove down to Guaymas, inspired by Catch 22.
Did you?
Just to see the wreck of the
airstrip. It's still there. It's still there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of, I was just thinking, I read this today, and I thought of you right away, because given your work on Primary Colors, and do you like Recount, by any chance? Did you happen to have a...
Very much.
Yeah.
Very
I thought that was excellent.
Much. Oh, I thought it was as good as it gets.
HBO has bought the rights to a book that has not come out yet by Mark Halperin and John Hellerman. It's called Game Change, Obama and the Clintons, McCain and Palin, and the Race of a Lifetime, about the DOA thing. And I would have thought that would be a perfect thing if you were in the mood to do something like that.
Because let me tell you, I am never again. You know, if I got another 40 years to live instead of what I got,
yeah.
I would never again do a movie based on real life.
Because of all the...
It's too hard.
Yeah.
You can't find a metaphor. You have to do what happened.
Yeah.
You're chained to a series of facts, or even pseudo-facts. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's what everybody thinks happened. And you can't examine the story or what the secrets are. I mean, you have to anyway. You turn yourself inside out to turn it into a metaphor and make it a movie. But it's really hard.
And I finally want to say I'm really, really looking forward to seeing The Fortune, which I haven't seen since the AFI Fest with the two Garys back in 75.
Yeah. I hadn't seen it since then, and I had to see it to check the print. I didn't like it much at all. It was a mess. It was a battle between the writer and me. We never got along and discovered it horribly late. She never wrote an ending. I had to improvise it.
Yeah.
And the guys and me... We're in the worst possible place to make a movie. Each of us had just had a gigantic hit.
Uh-huh.
Jack had Easy Rider. Warren had Bonnie and Clyde. I had The Graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, hey, come on, let's go. We know what to do. The most dangerous way to go into anything.
But the disposing of the chest on the bridge scene with the car, that was really, I remember that vividly.
Well,
that
the
was
guys,
really pretty...
they were very funny. They were very funny.
Yeah.
Jack confessing and Warren out stunned at Jack pouring it all out. They were very good. They were from Stocker. First thing she ever did.
Right.
She was truly upper class. And they were brilliant. It just wasn't the movie that it should have been.
Yeah. Her very first thing was in the hospital, I thought. That little tiny role. That I know that was the first serious role that she had. But
I know about it. I just met her because her agent... was a friend of mine, and she said this was her first movie.
Hmm.
What's the hospital?
The hospital's a tiny little thing.
You mean in Chayefsky's hospital?
Yes.
Really?
Little tiny. Yeah, she had a
that.
Nurse's uniform. She had three lines, four lines.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Anyway. Very nice speaking with you.
My pleasure.
Looking forward to The Fortune anyway.